The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
As we here in Ireland watch our neighbours in the UK opening up the country to activities including outdoor dining in restaurants, it further highlights the predicament our own restaurant and hospitality sector are in, and in fact all of those in that hospitality stroke tourism area. So how has it impacted on the industry? Well, Richard Corrigan is a renowned chef and restaurateur with several establishments in the UK and Ireland, and he joins me now on the line from London. Welcome to the programme, Richard. First, can you give us your summation of what is happening in Ireland vis-a-vis what has been happening in the UK?
Well, it looks like the UK is a couple of months ahead of Ireland straight up, you know what I mean? We opened our business last Monday in fairness, just outside only, which we have started, and it's been very busy indeed. I mean, really, really busy. And I mean, coming down Oxford Street yesterday, I mean, I came over from the east end of London yesterday from Shoreditch Roundabout. I just hopped on a bus and I got off mid-Oxford Street and I walked down and then turned down Regent Street. I mean, it looks like London is certainly getting back to... The traffic is still a bit lightish. It's not full on, but honestly, the queues at the shops were there. The shops were open. There was business. I turned into the corner off Regent Street into Swallow Street and bang, all of the restaurants, you know what I mean, on Swallow Street was absolutely full, including our own. So that's all outside dining till the 17th of May, and it's given us a great head start because we were getting to be in a bad position in London, a really weak, bad position. And I'm really, really happy we're open. I'm really happy things are moving along. Ireland is running 2 months behind, more than likely. I mean, everyone is trying hard. It just like Europe has just missed a few beats here and there. But don't get jealous. Don't feel we have any one-upmanship in anything or anywhere. This has been one bastard of a virus. It has brought us to our knees, and now we just need to just not get negative about our next door neighbours. Get off our backside, get it done, get it sorted, get open for whatever the summer is left. I mean, okay. Dublin will always bounce back, but it's the people down the country, that down the coastal seaside hotels and restaurants that I really, really feel for, because of a small window from May to October that they make all their coinage. And for them not to get open is really heartbroken. That'd okay. be 2 years, 2 years of a business costing them money that will be completely, completely on their knees.
Are you worried about the... well, obviously, given what's happened, you have to be worried about the hospitality sector. But when I say, are you worried about the hospitality sector, I'm wondering, has it actually changed forever? Because people are hearing, we need to get reopened, we need to get back to where we were. But I'm just wondering whether any of us can ever go back to where we were.
I don't think it's, when you talk about getting back to where we were, I don't think that's a long way off, in fairness, you know. Getting reopened is one thing. Getting back to where we were, my God, I think I'm not too sure, will we ever get back there? I mean, there has to be a realisation with everyone, landlords, government and everything, that, you know, the hospitality sector, it looks really glamorous, frankly. It really looks like, you know what I mean, you think of, caviar and champagne, but, you know, most of us are in the service industry. You know what I mean? In the service sector, we're serving people, we're looking after people. You know what I mean? It's not the most highly paid or lucrative positions in the world, but it's a job that we've done. We left school early, and it's ended up where what we do, and some of us do it as well, if not better than others. And it's a hard work with very slim margins, very fine times of when you're busy. You know what I mean? The last quarter, the last. Probably 3 months in the year is for probably people make 65-68% of their total turnover for the whole year. And it's like kind of, it's very delicate, and it is broken right now. And, you know, we're going to need, you know what I mean? And not just need, we're just going to need help, just a little bit of help for 18 months to get everyone back on the feet. Because everyone in the hospitality sector, the most brilliant bunch of entrepreneurs all over Ireland. I mean, honestly, I mean, everyone, West Coast, Clare, Galway, Sligo, up to Donegal, down to Kerry, across to Waterford, Wexford, you know what I mean, up to even Louth and further afield. Everyone is working really hard just with the hope of reopening.
See, sorry to cut across you. Some people will assume that because you're Richard Corrigan, you know, you're internationally renowned chef, restaurateur, you've television programs, awards at the Gazoo, your biggest state up in the Midlands, etc., etc. They'll think, oh, well, you've got pots of money. You can handle all of this. But I mean, you know, While all of this is going on and you're in lockdown, you still have utility bills, you still have rates, you still have...
If every bank withdrew the overdraft facilities of every hospitality business, there'd be no hospitality in Britain or Ireland tomorrow.
Can I ask you, you still have to pay your ESB and your gas bills and all that sort of stuff. What is it costing you in just those outgoings?
The ESB bill alone on the lodge in Ireland was 7,500 in January. The gas bill for January and February was nearly 8,000. So that's just keeping the place burning, keeping it hot, keeping it warm, and keeping it moving.
So hang on a second. Sorry, Richard. I want to get a sense of this. I want to get a sense of the cost of this. So that was for what? A month or a 2 month period?
That was month. That was the electricity bill that came in January was $7,500. For January and February, it was nearly $8,000 for the gas bill alone.
So what are we looking at per year?
It's like a ship, a hotel in the country. Hundreds of thousands, over 100,000 just to keep the thing just lit and the water on.
And there's no money coming in, that's all money going out.
Absolutely no money coming in. So whatever anyone is thinking of gazillions and squash, it's absolute nonsense, I'll be honest with you. You know what I mean, really?
And the ESB and the gas company and all the board, gosh, I mean, I'm assuming you've had discussions with them saying, listen, I'm a big customer, I'm forking out all this money, but I've got nothing coming in. Have they given you any breaks? Is there any allowances made?
Nothing, absolutely full bills.
No derogation whatsoever?
Absolutely none.
Okay, and in terms of trying to keep your operation going and staff and all the rest of it, are you availing of the subsidies?
I would go as far as to say electricity and gas costs in Ireland are probably a third more than I'm paying in the UK. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, it all seems very glamorous, you know what I mean, really. But, you know, what I've been doing in lockdown is planting trees, putting down hedges and keeping the place looking good. Keeping carrying on the good work, you know what I mean? It's all of us, you know, we've spent... we have to spend because the future is a little bit outside, so we had to put in some terraces in DP Lodge and get the furniture and get it all done. I mean, you don't start missing, you know what I mean, another 50,000-60,000 just because you're after doing a project. So you have to turn your business from what it was into something else. So, you know, we're opening a brand new glamping operation on the Lakeland and just on the edge of the forest in Virginia. I mean, we have to turn the business. We can't stand there looking why what's happening. You know what I mean? Well, we have to.
That's
the
question I was asking you earlier on about the hospitality sector here. There is no going back. Now, has it changed forever? And what do you think the model is going to be like going forward?
More expensive.
Well, now this is a follow-up question to this, right? One of the things that we do know about lockdown is that off-licence and takeaway sales of alcohol and food have boomed during COVID. So the appetite and thirst for your services haven't gone away. So it's kind of a fair assumption that when things get going again, when they open up again, you're in for a bonanza if you can hang on that long. Probably more demand, actually, than you can cater for. And, of course, prices will go up.
Yeah, but, you know, you take the mess of the year-plus lockdown, you know what I mean? No bonanza over a couple of months is going to make up for that. So this whole wording of bonanza, I think we should park all those words and just about or even getting back to normal. It just means getting open is the word we should be using. And getting open safely is the next word we should be using. Because if there's no bonanza, the bills that most businesses have put on their credit cards, you know what I mean, finding a few bob everywhere just to keep their businesses, the wolf from the door, all those have to be taken care of when they reopen. So this idea there's going to be a bonanza, absolute, just, you know, sounds great, but there's absolutely no substance to it whatsoever.
All right, but let me go back to that central point that you made there about getting open properly, getting open safely. Have you any worries that the UK has gone too quickly?
I can't answer that right now. We'll know in 3 or 4 months, won't we?
Well, you might know it a lot quicker than that, and particularly, obviously, since AstraZeneca is the most used vaccine in the UK. It's the one that Boris basically hung his hat on politically, getting it up, getting it out, getting it rolled out, etc., etc. But it is also the one that there's the biggest question mark over because of the link with clots.
Honestly, Mark, I'll be honest with you, the biggest question mark, I mean, I'm no scaremonger, but I got my AstraZeneca jab last Saturday, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I completely understand you. I'm not anti-vaccine.
But
I'm just wondering whether the UK, in Boris's haste to prove that Brexit and getting out of Europe and separating himself from that was the right thing to do, he waved the flag off. Look at what we did with AstraZeneca. Look at how quickly we got rolled out. Look at how quickly we're getting back to normal. Are you worried, as somebody who's going to be dealing with the public all the time, are you worried that maybe corners were cut or that maybe he went too quickly?
I would say Pat Boris's name out of this for a moment because he's an absolute clown. So let's be clear on that, right? I'm no fan of him whatsoever. So I think the NHS and the British military have done an amazing job. And I'm no apologist for any of them. You know what I mean? But NHS is a great institution. It's an absolutely brilliant. I think the job they've done right now is fantastic. Take your hat off to them. Okay. They really have got it together. It took them a year to get it together, by the way. Okay, so let's not crow about how great of a job they're doing right now. It took them a while for a great service with a great institution. It took them a while to get their skates on.
What about their equivalents here, Richard?
But they have now, and they have really got the organisation capacity behind it. They are delivering what they said. Honestly, I got my injection last Saturday morning up in North London. It was absolutely bang. It wasn't even busy, I'll be honest. There was a queue. I was in there at 8:30. There was a queue when I came out at 9:30. They would let me have to wait, I think it was 15, 20 minutes. There was a queue starting as I was leaving. And, you know, I mean, who knows? Who knows what? I mean, you know, I just know I'm really happy to get over. I'm really happy to get a needle stuck in my goddamn arm. I'm really happy to get another needle as quick as possible stuck in my arm so I can get on with my bloody life, paying my bills, paying the debts that we owe, and getting on with what we do really well is looking after people, having a pint, and hopefully sticking a cigar in my mouth at the end of this year and say, thank God I lived through this nonsense.
Richard, we're going to have to leave it at that. It's always a breath of fresh air to hear you and to hear your views, whether people agree with them or not.
Well, listen, anybody
who speaks passionately is all right with me, as long as they're not being offensive, and you certainly weren't.
But honestly, listen, Ireland, don't be jealous. Ireland's getting there. Everyone is trying hard. You know what I mean? Naming and shaming and all that, it's no time for it. We need to just get our act together. Get everyone done. I think Ireland and everyone else, we catch up at Britain by probably midsummer.
All right, Richard. We'll leave it at that.
Take care. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
That was Richard Corrigan, chef and restaurateur. And thank you so much for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.